a very nice village, but it's a bit scattered. It's a bit scattered. Awfully scattered. The scattered community.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another Deepest Lore. It's your favourite time of the week, Thursday, 3 p.m. or thereabouts. I'm sipping a cool Pepsi Max because I didn't quite have enough time to get my Nescafe Gold ready. But still, it's a nice day. Looking out, I can see the trees, I can see the greenery. And I'm feeling very calm. And hopefully you are also feeling calm. Today we are gathered to talk about The Dandy and the Beano. This was actually a stream I wanted to do a very long time ago. And I wasn't able to do it, if you recall. And I switched at the last minute to talk about Johnny Rotten on the... Remember that stream where we looked at Johnny Rotten in and around London? I think I had Beano and Dandy planned for that day. And what happened was that I had all of the Beano and Dandy annuals digitally. I'd managed to acquire them and they just disappeared from my hard drive one day. I still don't know where they've gone and I can't find them. I still can't find where I found them. I've looked through my history. I've done deep searches on Google. I can no longer find the annuals. Can't find them on any of my hard drives. So they've just disappeared. So what I've done for this is there's a chap online who does his own kind of rogue compilations of various different characters. And in a way, that makes it even better than the annuals because I can pick and choose which characters to highlight and which elements of the comics to look at. And also, his compilations go through the years. So we can, you know, we can start, let's say, in 1976 and move forward to 1983 if we wanted to. I was just having a little bit of difficulty getting my screen to share, but I've managed to do that now. Let me just make sure that everybody can hear me. Hopefully everybody can hear me. I can see the regular crowd trickling in. And this is, I kind of like, you know, I do three shows a week, the Unpopular Opinions, which is full of, you know, a huge crowd and the chat goes very quickly. And it's, you know, a lot of trucks in that crowd. And, you know, the Scarstream crowd is a little bit more elite. But I like the select, small, little niche club that gathers on a Thursday afternoon to watch The Deepest Lore. You're kind of a special cozy friends of mine. You know, in recognition of that, I've made a little coupon. I gave them three coupons out for the academic agency, little discount. If you do DL15, I made three available. In fact, I saw one of them's gone already. So there's only two left now, but, anybody who happens to catch The Deepest Lore, I won't mention this anywhere else. That's just a little gift for you. And now I will have a look at some Beano and Dandy. I have, as some people may imagine, there are elements of Beano and Dandy that are of more interest to me than other parts. And before I get into it, for the benefit of some Americans who may be watching, and I can see there's at least one in the chat. The Beano and the Dandy were these comics that were made in Scotland up in Dundee, I believe. And they were published for a very long time. And they were chiefly for kids, you know, chiefly for children. And they have a particular art style, which you'll see. And they were very much centered on school kids. And the goings on in school. And as we're about to witness, there was an awful lot of bullying in the Beano and in the Dandy. And as you might imagine, I have highlighted plenty of bullying today, which we're going to take a look at, because there are, this may seem like just a kind of fripperous, innocent kids thing. But I think there are deeper kind of ores to be mined from the deposit of Beano and Dandy, as it were. And I'll get into some of my deeper thoughts as we go on. But if you ever look through one of these annuals, there are, let's just say, popular characters like Dennis the Menace. Dennis the Menace is a kid with a dog in a red and black stripy jumper, not that abomination called Dennis the Menace in America. There's a fake Dennis. There's an American Dennis with blonde hair. That's not the real Dennis the Menace. The real Dennis the Menace is the Beano Dennis the Menace. And Dennis the Menace was the main star of the Beano. The Dandy was more like how I'd say it was like the B show. It was like the if Beano was the unpopular opinions, Dandy was the cigar stream, or the if the Beano was I don't know, WWF Raw, the Dandy was Superstars. Now I'm sure there are some fans who may balk at these claims of mine that the Dandy was the B show, but I think it's pretty clear that the premier brand of and in fact they're called I think it's DC Thompson Comics, so it's a different DC. It's not Detective Comics. If you all go all the way back to Deepest Lore episode one, myself and Minnie and Mark looked through Batman comics. It's not that DC. It's DC Thompson. And they were actually based, even though they were a Dundee firm, they were based down in Fleet Street and in and around London. And in fact, at one time, I worked in the actual building that DC Thompson were based in for many years. And it was bizarre. We had these we used to have these kind of team meetings and board meetings and so on. And I had a giant Dennis the Menace looking at me because they had all these laminated Beano and Dandy characters everywhere. But anyway, and the main character of the Dandy was Desperate Dan, a kind of big beefy cowboy who ate cow pie. So Dennis was the Beano star, and Desperate Dan was the Dandy star. However, if you go into the lore of Beano and Dandy, they were not the original stars. I think the original Beano star was a character called Lord Snooty, and the original Dandy star was a character called Corky the Cat. And as we're kind of looking through here, I might as well show you just. Might as well just kind of Google some images here. So let me just share my DuckDuckGo, and we'll have a look at Desperate Dan. Here's the main Beano character. There's Desperate Dan eating his cow pie. There's a statue of him in Dundee, I believe. He actually replaced, as the cover star of the Dandy, Corky the Cat. There's an old Dandy annual with Corky on the front. It was kind of one of those strange deals, a bit like how Mickey Mouse replaced that. What was it, Oscar the Rabbit or whatever that Disney had originally? Corky the Cat's a bit like that. Like I said, Dennis the Menace. There's the real Dennis. There's the fake, horrible, American, sick Dennis. We don't want to know about him. This is the real Dennis here, who's an absolute rotter, as we'll see. He's always up to mischief and up to no good. And he frequently bullies Walter the Softy. But he replaced a character on the cover called Lord Snooty, I want to say. I may have this wrong. Hold on, Beano cover star. Who was the Beano cover star? Because I know Dennis replaced somebody, but was it? Oh, yes, Big Ego. Sorry, I knew there was another character. Big Ego Chris Ostrich was the original cover star of the Beano. And the Beano also had this rather kind of stereotypical boy there as well, originally eating a melon, typically. So, yeah, there was Big Ego, but he was replaced. I want to say Snooty had a spell of being the main Beano character before Dennis the Menace and his enormous popularity came along. So anyway, I'm going to be highlighting, I think, the period I'm most familiar with, which is the late 70s, the 80s. I had a lot of these annuals as a kid. You could pick them up in car boot sales and things like that. They also sold the weekly comics still when I was little. I imagine they're all online now, and I imagine they're disgusting and woke and all the rest of it, but I don't want to dwell on that. I did happen to see that the Dandy stopped being printed in 2012 and became online only, and it only lasted 6 months. So the Dandy is no longer in print, I believe. They still bring out the annuals every year, but that's it. So with all of that said, let's have a little look at some of this. So hopefully you can all see this. I'm just going to linger on it because it won't share the application for some reason. It will only share my entire screen. Yep. Just press one if you can see it, and I'll come back to make sure you can all see it. Can you all see it? Yeah, you can all see it. All right, so I will come back, and we will have a little look. So here's Dennis. This is a compilation made by this chap online, 1976 to 1979, and he's actually provided a bit of info. He says Dennis the Menace and Nasher, previously titled Dennis and Nasher, and originally Dennis the Menace, is a long-running comic strip in the British children's comic, The Beano, published by DC Thompson of Dundee, Scotland. The comic stars a boy named Dennis the Menace and his Abyssinian wire-haired tripehound, Nasher. The strip first appeared in issue 452, dated March 17th, 1950. Longest-running strip in the comic. The idea and name of the character emerged when the comic's editor heard a British musical song with the chorus "I'm Dennis the Menace from Venice." From issue 1678 onwards, dated September 14, 1974, Dennis the Menace replaced Biffo the Bear on the front cover. Oh, so it wasn't Ego, it was Biffo. There's yet another cover star, Biffo the Bear. I knew I was forgetting someone. On the front cover, and has been there ever since. Note, the UK version is dated March 17th, but it went on sale March the 12th. Coincidentally, on March the 12th, 1951, another comic strip named Dennis the Menace debuted in the US. the two strips should not be confused, as a result of the US series has initially been retitled Dennis for UK audiences, while the British characters' appearances are often titled Dennis and Nasher outside the UK. Dennis is the archetypal, badly behaved schoolboy. The main recurring storyline throughout the years features his campaign of terror against a gang of softies, effeminate and well-behaved boys, particularly Walter. Walter finds himself in unfavorable circumstances on many occasions, although he sometimes gets the last laugh. So, yes, Walter the softie is the main nemesis. Dennis the Menace and Nasher was first drawn by David Law, 51 to 70, then David Sutherland, 70 to 98. David Parks took over in 98, but due to his other work commitments, Nigel Parkinson and Jimmy Hansen have drawn the lion's share of the strips for some years. Parkin has not drawn Dennis since 2006. More recently, and now I won't go into this minutiae, won't bore you with these details, but here we go. So let me make sure that the... Yes, here we go. All right. The Beano. So this is January the 3rd, 1976 edition. Every Thursday, 4 pence. Some econ nerd in the chat can work out the inflation how much that would cost you today, but I'd warrant that that would probably be a couple of pounds today, that 4 pence. So it, don't think it's cheap, because it's not. So Dennis the Menace and Nashja, soft Walter is doing his knitting. Hmm, how peaceful is the day, says Walter. There's Walter knitting like a big girl. Now to make Walter drop a stitch. And then Dennis there, for no reason, he's just minding his business. Dennis emerges in the window with Nashja, with a big balloon, and pops it, causing Walter to jump out of his chair in fright. Walter complains, "Your horrid son made me jump out of my skin." And then his dad sees, "So I saw." And then he says, "It's all right for you, Nashja. You never get whacked." And then you can see that Dennis's dad has already hit him on the backside with the newspaper. And as we'll see, this is a reoccurring theme in the Dennis the Menace comics. Dennis basically ends almost every story getting a beating from his dad. Typically, his weapon of choice is his slipper. Usually his dad uses his slipper on his backside and beats the living crap out of Dennis every single week. And yet, Dennis never learns. Dennis never once learns his lesson. But the following week, he's back to square one, picking on Walter. Meanwhile, Walter also never learns and never stops being a big girl's blouse. So it's like a kind of perfect cycle of violence and dysfunction, week after week after week, year after year after year. And herein lies some of my philosophical interest in Dennis the Menace, because it proves my point that the bullied person, Walter, never learns, and he never learns. But also the kind of corporal punishment dished out by Dennis's father also is ineffective, because Dennis never learns, so nobody ever learns. Anyway, there's more on this. He's got a bright idea. Yes, it continues. This is on the back cover now. "That's funny, I can't find my old fur coat anywhere. I want to give it to the rag man." So the rag man, I guess, was the rag and bone man back in 1976. Gasp, Nash has grown bigger all of a sudden. So it's slightly Dennis. And this is another thing they love to do. Reader's voice. That's you, the reader. they love this. They always have the reader. And occasionally the editor will pipe up as well. Anyway, ho-ho, I thought my Nashja outfit would fool you readers. So that's where mum's fur coat has gone. Meanwhile, I'll get my own back on Dennis. My uncle's Alsatian dog will frighten the life out of him. So Walter is out for revenge with his uncle's Alsatian. But Dennis, as Nashja, has frightened the Alsatian, causing Walter to yelp out, "Help, mummy. Ho, ho, I mean, woof, woof. Now we're going to make some money, Nashja. Daddy wouldn't buy me a human." How incredible. And then people are giving money to the dancing dog, causing Dennis, who's always up to this sort of mischief, getting some money. But Dennis is in more trouble now. These ants have made him jump out of his skin. And now all of these punters should see that they've been fooled. And Walter kind of gets the last laugh here. So that's the first story here. Let me have a quick look at the chat to see what you all made of it. What do you reckon? Here's somebody saying Dennis the Furry, sublime storytelling. Somebody said, "I think I've read this one." Nathan Hurd says Walter looks like Jacob Rees-Mogg. So let's carry on, because there's a lot more where this came from. Oh, I should have mentioned, by the way, as well as the incredible 15% discount I'm giving to two lucky viewers today, if some of you stick with me until the end of this stream, which I'd say is going to be in around an hour from now, I'm going to head on over to AA Gold and address some of the criticisms people have made of my video in which I demonstrated how to make a cup of Nescafe Gold. I feel the need to address my critics because never has a man been so slighted for so little. Never has somebody been as criticized as me in that video. I reckon in the history of YouTube, nobody has had a more critical comment section, and I feel I need to address some of those head on. So I'll do that following this stream. But anyway, let us continue. The Beano, this is the following week, Jan 17th, and Dennis the Menace and Nasher. I hope those naughty menaces aren't lying in wait for us somewhere. So there's Walter and his softy friends. Walter, and they're literally scared stiff that Walter and that Dennis and his mates are lying in wait. And they're correct to be kind of apprehensive because they were lying in wait with pea shooters and little water pistols. We're not lying in wait, Walter. We're standing, even jumping in the air. And there they go. The softies get, you know, mud splattered on them, water on the face, and pea shooter in the head, as they deserve, correctly bullied by Walter and friends. You absolute rotters, say the softies. Ho ho, another round to the menaces. So Dennis's gang is the menaces. And let's take a look at some of these characters here. There's Walter. Not sure the name of his two buddies here, but you know, you can see one wears a little red cap and the other one is this spotty Herbert here. And Dennis's mates, one has got big blonde hair and the other one is this kind of toothy fellow with big ears here. Anyway, Walter says, listen, you chaps, there's an old book of useful proverbs which says, if you can't beat them, join them. It's going to go on here then. Have you noticed, Bert, there are a lot of menaces around today? You're right, says the policeman. And Peter Hitchens would be very happy to see bobbies on the beat. Two policemen just walking the beat as they used to do back in the 70s. They stopped doing that a long time ago, and that's one of Hitchens's big bugbears. Also notice how everybody's got a nice big house to live in, which is not necessarily the case in the UK today. Anyway, what do you think of our super disguises, readers? So basically, Walter and his softy cronies, it's the softies, have disguised themselves as Dennis and his mates. That's Walter as Dennis, and there's the two minions. So this is continued on the back page now. That's funny. We can't find the softies anywhere. So they're basically lurking around, skulking around, looking for softies to pick on. And you lot haven't seen them, have you? No, sorry, titter. Never mind. We'll have some catty practice instead. So they get their slings and shoot at some cans instead. Unfortunately, the cans have been set up on top of this wall and they hit the coppers on the head, which means that the cops end up chasing after the menaces. And then they slip into the alley. So instead they find the softies. Okay, let's have your names. Have mercy, officer, we're innocent. And there they are begging on their knees like the soys they are. Later, Walter is having a tea party with his... Look. I love the activities of the softies. Look at the lovely tea party he's having. Lovely tea party from Walter and his friends. No menaces allowed. So, I mean, to be fair, they don't deserve to have cakes and things because they've been picking on them. Remember that old proverb, pals? Oh my gosh, what's going on now? Hair oiled down. Oh my god, it was the gypsy switch all along. Greetings, Walter. Welcome, fellow softies. ring-a-ring-a-rosies. Yeah, this is something that we'll find fairly frequently. I seem to remember Walter and his friends love playing ring-a-ring-a-rosies. That's a very softy game to play. But instead, Dennis and mates they've disguised themselves. They managed to sneak in, and now they've chased off the softies, and they get to eat all the grub. So Dennis wins that one. And I would say, if you're keeping score, it's about 1-1 so far. Clear win to Dennis this time. And got one over on Walter and his Ponzi friends. Let's carry on. This is the following week. These are 1976 classics. And what's happening? Yet again, Walter and his two mates are playing Ring-a-Ring-a-Roses. I'm just going to pause it to see how many people in the chat played Ring-a-Ring-a-Roses when they were little. Who was a softy when they were little? How many of you played Ring-a-Ring-a-Roses? Press 1 if you played Ring-a-Ring-a-Roses when you were a kid, and press 2 if you were much more like Dennis and would scoff and bully those who played Ring-a-Ring-a-Roses. Okay, so I'm seeing a lot of ones. A lot of people play. 99.9 Duke saying, I play British Bulldog. I remember playing British Bulldog, 99.9 Duke. That's a much more rough and tumble game to play. That's what Dennis would have played. Some people are saying that they did play Ring-a-Ring-a-Rosies, but only when they were 3 or 4 years old. Did Yiz play Ring? Yeah, of course, Yiz played Ring-a-Ring-a-Rosies, but let's not go. All right, so let's carry on, and maybe I'll switch to a different set of characters. After this, there's quite a lot of Dennis, but he is the main star. So let's carry on. Ring-a-Ring-a-Rosies. Look, Nasher, the softies are playing one of their soppy games. I just love the idea that Walter and his friends are just always up for playing Ring-a-Ring-a-Rosies and being soppy. Move over, you two. We want to join in. Eek the menace. Yahoo, this is more like it. Help, stop, mummy, says this softy here. So Dennis has inserted himself in, like the oik that he is, and he's making the Ring-a-Ring-a-Rosies go super fast. All fall down. So there they go. Oof, dizzy. So he's basically just barged himself in and beaten them all up. And then Dennis says, hey, look there, Nasher. Hoopla. We're going to have some fun with these rings, Nasher. That's the way you've got it. Okay. Everyone's a bullseye. So he's now an absolute delinquent, that Dennis is, throwing hoopla on everybody, including coppers' helmets, innocent girls, women, and, of course, Walter. The new recruits on anti-menace patrol, these new cops there, caught him. Nasher is an anti-police patrol, so Nasher goes after the police. Ha-ha, you certainly rang rings around them, old pal. Look over there, a boxing ring. Beat Mr. Softy and win. Beat a softy, yeah? Money for old rope. So he comes in. Gasp, he doesn't look like a softy. He's an ice cream salesman in his spare time, so unfortunately... Dennis gets beaten up by Mr. Softy at the end here. Look at the nose on Mr. Softy. Biff, bash, thud. And then Walter laughs at the end. Chortle. Now Dennis has a ringing in his ears. So Dennis comes a cropper there. One more Dennis, and then we'll skip to some other characters, I think. Somebody's saying they want Bash Street Kids. We'll have a little look at them. So this is the last one from Jan 76. Hey, look at that, Nasher. I didn't know the local rugby team wore jerseys like mine. We must support them. So there's the local rugby team, all wearing a black and red stripy jersey. Don't worry, Nasher, I won't leave you out. I'm glad I still have that jersey of mine that shrunk when I fell in the duck pond. Now we can both support them. So he's given Nasher a rugby jersey. And then he kind of likes the look of it. Nasher runs in. I think he's been mistaken for the rugby ball here. And he's being passed around. Hey, that's my pal you're throwing about. So Dennis is trying to get his dog back. We came here because we want to be your mascots. We'll stand there out of your way. Yeah. We're now away from all the action. Penalty kick. Dennis has managed to get himself up on the top. He's changing the, like, yeah. There's the white line marker. He's cost the team some points because it went on his head. He's basically just all-round nuisance, isn't he? They're no fun. They don't realize what an honor it is to have Dennis the Menace and Nasher as mascots. Covers them in red, in white paint. And now, disappointing lack of bullying in this one. So see if there's any more softy action. Okay. Let's have one more because I want to see more bullying of... So in February 76, they're in zoology class and the teacher there. Now, one of the things to mention about the Beano is that it's permanently stuck in the 1950s for some reason. The teachers all wear these headboard, like the mortar and headboard. They all wear that. You know, they still have the desk with the inkwells. It's permanently 1952 in the world of the Beano, which is... kind of interesting. It means you could argue that it's in its very nature kind of anti-progressive in a way, because it's refusing to move with the times as a conscious effort. Anyway, they're in zoology class and Walter says, "Ooh, I'm scared of worms." And Dennis laughs, of course, because worms are harmless. Now to give Walter a little surprise. So he's basically looking for worms. Finds a whirl. He says, "I'm going to put this worm down Walter's neck." However, this bird has spotted the worm and steals it. And then now on the back page, there's an idea. You go. And basically, Nasher is now going to pretend to be a giant worm. And... Walter's in the garden helping his. He said, "I'll dig out some weeds for you, Daddy. I'll go and get a cup of tea, Walter." So there's Walter's softy dad. And Walter sees a giant worm and screeches, "Help, Dadums," runs away. What a softy, haw haw. But then the spade bangs Dennis on the head. "Where did you get that bump, Dennis?" "Walter did it. Some little worms can be dangerous." So... you can see it's about 50-50. Sometimes Dennis gets away with it. Other times Walter gets the last laugh. We can see, I mean, there's so much bullying that goes on of Walter. I won't read them all in detail, but I just want to see if we can find some of Dennis getting his... Walter the softies are having a tea party. They're always up to some very poncy activities, aren't they? "You're like a lot of sissy little girls," says Dennis and his friends. There's a lot of this sort of stuff. So I'm just going to quickly, you know, skip through to show you the general gist. "Come along, Bertie. We mustn't be keeping our mumsies waiting," they say. So there's an awful lot of this sort of thing. And you can see a lot of it ends with his dad. There's so much slipper action in it. quite a lot of them have a story where Walter has got some kind of cool new piece of kit, or like a colour TV or brand new radio, and Dennis is jealous as well. So there's quite a lot of, I would say there's a class element between Dennis and Walter. Walter is clearly a middle class kid. His family's quite well off. Dennis, meanwhile, seems to come from a more struggling background. They need money a bit, and his dad is quite violent. So that's the kind of backdrop to that. So Pedder is saying the softies are basically girls. I mean, yes. So why don't we, is Walter Owen Jones, they deserved it. I mean, one of the things to think about is that these were the social norms of the time, but they're also, I would say, I mean, certainly in my school, and in most schools I've ever seen, it was also a kind of lived reality as well. I mean, you can imagine this sort of thing going on in school. I don't know if decades of attempted social conditioning have changed this reality. Maybe some of the younger people in the chat can, you know, can remember their school days. Can you imagine anything like this going on in your school? Or did Walter the softy rule the roost by the time you were in school? Or was it basically the same? So let's have a look. See if any. Somebody's asking who was the first ethnic character in the Beano. It was that little boy eating the melon in the corner. Yeah, you see, it's basically the same. So all that happens now, okay, back then, the comic book reflected reality, or reflected some aspect of reality. You know, you had kind of tougher and rougher kids, and you had, you know, softer kids from better backgrounds. And of course, if they were made to go to the same school, this sort of thing would happen. Even in poshers, like I went to a, you know, pretty well-to-do school when I was around the age of Dennis. And I remember there were only two girls in the school, or three girls in the whole school. And I used to like to hang out with them for a while. And I was picked on by some of the kids, like, you want to play with girls, you know. So I certainly had a share of being picked on in the locker room and stuff for playing with girls at a certain age. Even in like a quote unquote posh school, that would go on. Like, I mean, in fact, you could say bullying was even worse in the, you know, in the public schools than they were in the state schools. Half a dozen in the other. Cause I experienced all the different types of schools at one time or another. And this sort of thing was a constant, I would say, across all of them. Not for me personally, obviously, but I'd observe this sort of thing go on. Let us carry on. I'm going to switch to a different character. Give the we got a choice of Bully Beef and Chips. I've got Buddy Beef and Chips. I've got Winker Watson. I've got the Jocks and the Geordies. I've got Bodger the Bookworm. Bodger the Bookworm sounds interesting. Let's have a look. Shall we have a look at Bully Beef? Yeah, let's have a look at Bully Beef, shall we? Keep this bullying theme going. So I'll just get up Bully Beef and Chips. Now, Bully Beef and the Chips was in the Dandy, and you'll see it was much the same idea. There's Bully Beef. That's just loading a minute. B- Bully Beef and Chips was a British comic strip created by Jimmy Hughes. First appeared in 1967 in the British comics magazine The Dandy. The strip told the story of two warring boys, a tall, ugly thug called Bully Beef and a softer, more cunning lad called Chips. The name Bully Beef and Chips comes from a quickly prepared meal, corned beef and chips, with Bully Beef being a phrase for corned beef. Stories of the two were identically themed. Bully Beef, Beefy, would constantly play violent tricks on Chips, who would then get his climactic revenge in some way right at the end. Originally, Bully Beef's eyes were always covered by his hair, but towards the end of the 1980s, they became partly visible, and then entirely visible when original artist Jimmy Hughes retired in 1993 and was replaced by Gordon Bell and later Sid Burgeon. Burgeon changed the character's personalities a little and made Chips just as much as a bully as Beefy at times, occasionally resulting in Beefy coming out on top. So, yeah, I think unlike Dennis and Walter, where it's roughly 50-50 in the win-loss stakes, I would say Beefy almost always loses. He almost always loses these, as we'll see. Also, for some reason, Beefy has got a very kind of prominent backside, as we'll see. He's kind of, I don't know why his arse sticks out as much as it does, but this is a theme, as you'll see. He's drawn like that. So this is from 1967, August the 5th. Oh, there's Chips with a hoop. I haven't got one of these, but I soon will. Thanks, Chips. I'm borrowing your hoop for good. Just pushes, puts his face in his hand in his face. Has Buddy Beef pinched your toys too? Yes, he took my skates and he took my scooter. Ha ha, this is fun. And so he's basically stealing the kid's stuff. Hoops. Wow, you clumsy fool. Ouch. So I would say Bully Beef is a slightly different case to Dennis. Dennis was a, you know, yes, he's a menace, but he's also quite a popular kid. Whereas Beefy is a different case. He's more of a kind of loner bully, if you want to put it that way. And possibly a bit of a sad case. Doesn't seem like many people like Bully Beef. So some of his bullying behavior could be seen as a cry for attention by a more milquetoast time. But anyway, golly, three angry men, I'm off. Ho ho, now I've got my hoop back. Cheerio, Bully Beef. Later. Come here with that hoop. Yeah, you'll have to catch me first. Look, he's dropped the hoop. It's mine. So this fellow jumps up the ladder. Hey, put that ladder back. I can hang around here much longer. Where's Chips? I'll murder him for this. I'll lasso the little perisher and dump him in the brook. Grr, cheeky weevil. You're for it. And then there's another policeman, kind of PC plodder. Come down from there, boy. And then, as we'll see, he accidentally gets the cop, which gets him into trouble. And Bully Beef won't be back for ages, so we'll pinch his toffees and take back all the toys he stole from us. So he gets, he gets his comeuppance in the end. Virtually all of these play out in the same way. We won't read them in detail. We'll just see. I mean, in this one, Chips is fishing. He pushes him in, soaking wet. But then he puts a scarecrow there, causing confusion and delay for Bully Beef. And then he ends up boshing this guy on the head, the gamekeeper, and being chased away. Chips gets the last laugh. In this one, he takes a boxing look and ends up getting, you know, he always comes cropper, Bully Beef. So, and again, he never learns. Bully Beef never, none of these characters ever learn in this, which is why I was saying there's a kind of Sisyphean quality to Beano and Dandy, because these cycles endlessly repeat week in, week out, year after year. It's always the same. Nobody ever develops. Nobody ever changes. Nobody ever learns. there's a Trips laughing at Buddy Beef. And yeah, I mean, Buddy Beef's got a father as well. He looks a bit like him. And yeah, there's Buddy Beef's father. There you go. There's Buddy Beef getting a pasting from his dad, Slipper, and all of the kids in the, all of these kids are just in the window laughing as Buddy Beef gets his ass smacked by his dad, Slipper. So, you know, over and over and over again, week in, week out, week in, week out. And I think there's something kind of slightly dark about that, which interests me. I love the fact you've got these endless, it's almost like a kind of Samuel Beckett play where the repetition is endless, the loops are endless, nothing ever changes. Nobody ever gets any. It's just like Sisyphus pushing that boulder up the hill. It just rolls back down again, week in, week out. Buddy Beef gets his comeuppance, back to square one. Now he's up to no good. You know, now he's getting a clip round the ear from his mother. Week in, week out, week in, week out. There he is. Look, every single week, there he is coming a cropper again and again and again. All the kids laughing at him, always coming a cropper, week in, week out, week in, week out. So, in a way, you could argue that Buddy Beef is the one who's being bullied here. I mean, Buddy Beef, he's got no friends. Nobody, like his parents pick on him. No, nobody's nice to him. So you could argue that he's just lashing out. You know, he just does this for attention because nobody will bother with him otherwise. And look, doesn't matter. Random people, coppers, you know, zookeepers, you name it. They all give Buddy Beef a pasting on that large backside of his at the end of every story. And Chips is there on hand to laugh, always laughing. But there's Buddy Beef coming a cropper, all the kids laughing at him again and again. It's just amazing. And again, look, there's Chips laughing. And again. And again. I mean, it's just like, it's just insane. How many times? Look, there he is laughing at him. So, you know, if you remember the Simpsons kid, like, ha ha. Really, it's Chips, isn't it? Chips is a look, always. And again, look, there he is, laughing. I might make some Chips memes. I quite like the look of Chips laughing there. Yeah, look, there he is. Every story, the same. Every story, the same. So, I mean, Chips has got a basically perfect win-loss record over Buddy Beef. Kind of feel sorry for Buddy Beef, to be honest. Tell me if you also feel sorry for Buddy Beef. Yeah, poor old Buddy Beef, eh? Poor old Buddy Beef. So, another set of stories was the Jocks and the Geordies. I happen to have this on hand. This was also in the Dandy, which was a set of Geordies from around Newcastle way, and a set of Jocks, that is Scottish lads. So there's Big Jock, Wee, Eek, Eck, Hector, Angus, and Sandy. They're the Jocks. And then Lanky, Arnold, Sidney, Egbert, and Cedric with the Geordies. And they were locked in a deadly feud. He says, The Jocks and the Geordies was a British comic strip which appeared in the magazine The Dandy. It was drawn by Jimmy Hughes. It ran from 1975 to the early 1990s. The strip was about two groups of five schoolboys living in the village of Crosspatch, crossing the border of Scotland and England. As a result, they were in constant battles with one another, with each in turn getting their comeuppance for pranks which were quite often violent. Often, both sets of boys would be in trouble from their teachers, Mr. McAllister and Mr. Biggleswaite, at the end, both of whom despaired of the rivalry and would frequently administer the cane the belt in the case of the jocks. The jocks, who were various tartan jumpers and wide tam o' shanter caps, these names which I just gave. The names of the Geordies were not always consistent. The fifth Geordie was referred to as Sydney in the 79 Dandy Annual, but this name was later given to the leader of the Geordies. Second and fourth Geordies have been referred to as Specky and Lofty, respectively, but these names were not used regularly. In the late 80s, the names of each character appeared under a mugshot. They were called Sydney, Lanky, Arnold, Cedric, and Egbert. So let's have a look at the jocks and the Geordies then. The jocks and the Geordies. So they're going to a naval exhibition. What super naval expedition, jocks? And it's given me a few ideas about putting one over the Geordies. So here are some Scots there. And meanwhile, in the park, there's nothing to beat a rousing cricket match. Don't you agree, Geordies? So the Geordies playing cricket. What is the connection between a naval exhibition and a cricket match? Turn over and find out. So let's try out the submarine we've built. We'll give you a push to the top of the hill. So the jocks here have built a submarine. Oh no, the Geordies are playing cricket in the park. Let's move around the gate. Prepare to fire number one torpedo. So they've basically just built a submarine to fire torpedoes at the Geordies here. And there they do. They shoot a kind of wooden plank that they've made, like a kind of makeshift skateboard. Ho-ho, we've really scuttled the Geordies that time. We'll just have to play football now. But the jocks have ruined our cricket gear, so they play football instead. So now the Geordies are playing football. Can't have that. Hold tight. And so they're going in again. They're just disrupting any fun the Geordies are trying to have. The jocks are just up to no good. Now they're fighting each other. You leave that ball alone, you little weasel. So they're just two rival gangs playing pranks on each other, as you can see. They're firing the... God, they're really giving them a hammer in here. So now they're trying to play football instead. And the Geordies are trying to... retaliate by throwing, I think, certain things on them. Blinded with soot, can't see where I'm steering. Now they're heading straight for the exhibition hall, having been blinded. Lids come off, and the jocks learn about another naval tradition: swab the decks, me harkies, or I'll tan your hide. So they're made to clean the floor by this salty sailor, and everybody laughs at them. So. To be fair, they really had that coming, because that was just a needless attack by the jocks there. And now you can see these stories carry on in a similar vein. This time they're trying to do their tent. And they're stopping them put their tent. You know, this time the Geordies are the aggressors and causing all sorts of havoc. With hilarious consequences. See, these significantly longer, these stories, than the Dennis ones. Here they've gone to a Punch and Judy show. And if you don't know what Punch and Judy is, I'd recommend the Immortal Bowden lecture on this. There you can see no tickets left. We've got the Geordies have got tickets. The jocks don't. Then they have a big punch up. They beat the Geordies up. They steal their tickets. That's the way to do it. Punch is beating up Geordie. Kids are absolutely loving it. Look, you know, it was a shame the Geordies missing that show. I think we should tell them about it. they disguise themselves as Punch and they each. They each slam at poor old Geordies. And then there was a crocodile. And God, they're really harassing these Geordies, aren't they? You villains, we hear you've been bullying the jocks. It was the... Okay. Yeah. So we're living through And there the jocks do get their comeuppance in the end, by the looks of things. All right, so I think that's a do for the jocks and the Geordies. Any more requests here? I'll have a look. I'll have a look at some of the super chats quickly. And I saw somebody wanted the Bass Street Kids. I didn't actually get any Bass Street Kids, so let me just quickly acquire some while I'm doing these super chats. I have to find this guy's compilations first. Where did I find those? Here we are. British compilation. If you want to find these yourself, it's on a website called British Comics Compilations. And this dude has made all of these himself. He's just put them together from old comics. And I will find now the Bass Street Kids. Yeah, the Bass Street Kids. And we'll also have a little look at Winker Watson. He's a kind of unusual character. And we'll have a look from this same period, 1976, 1976 sort of time. Just download those quickly. Yes. And then I'll head over to AA Gold and address the coffee critics while I'm at it. So, in terms of super chats, on Entropy, there's been a few. Before we get into the Bass Street Kids, Time Stealer on Entropy says, AA, add me on my new Twitter account at Stealer Time. I posted my first YouTube video on there, and it's a deep analysis of your Nescafe Goal video. Well, I'll do one better than that, Time Stealer, because on my when I address my critics, I will do a live watch. I'll do a live watch of that, give you real time feedback on it. If you want to get like that. That will follow this over on AA Gold. Nescafe Gold is overrated. No, it isn't. Says enjoying the stream. Well, thank you very much, Nescafe Gold. Coca-Cola says, AA, I'd love to see you do a milkshake drunk from the right stream. Despite the simplistic oil man bad takes from Midwit, I see There Will Be Blood as a chronicle of traditional, transcendent, familial and religious commitments giving way to materialist utility. Yeah, I'd love to watch There Will Be Blood and analyze it from the right. Maybe I'll ask Morgoth if he's up for that, because he's prone to, do film reviews. But maybe we might, put something together. I haven't seen it since it was out in the cinema, but I absolutely loved it. I went to see it twice at the time. So over on the other super chats, Jedi Knight Anakin Cringewalker says, contemporary Dennis and Nasha, Denise, now has a strong black woman sidekick and a disabled girl who fell for Nasha's soy boy aesthetic, total ashes. I assume you're joking there, Cringewalker. I assume that's not actually true. Chris Duccio says, AA, how dare you steep it to the degeneracy of a hand reveal? You come dangerously close to shattering my illusion that you are George Sanders. Chris Duccio also says, AA, please never commit the horrific act that is the face reveal. The shock of realizing that you are, in fact, not George Sanders might be the end of me. Yes, especially at the moment with my, post-hole Saddam Hussein look that I got going on. Although on that front, Mrs. AA spotted the hair scissors. She finally found it. And I could be getting a shearing later on. Okay, so I've got some Bass Street Kids now. So let's have a look at some Bass Street Kids. So these are some very famous characters. From the Beano. In fact, they were so famous, I seem to remember them appearing on like cans of Heinz beans and things. There was a long-standing kind of spaghetti hoops beans type promotion, I seem to recall, featuring the Bass Street Kids. So let's have a look. So, yeah, there was their teacher. There was another teacher. It was the headmaster, maybe. Yeah, I mean, they had very distinct characters. There was Plug and Fatty, and I think this guy's name's Sydney. This is a little Wilfred, who you never saw his neck. He's always just peering over his jumper like that. He says, "The Bass Street Kids is an ongoing comic strip featuring in the British comic The Beano. The strip was created by Leo Baxendale under the title When the Bell Rings and first appeared in The Beano in issue 604, dated the 13th of February 1954. And what I love about The Bass Street Kids, again, is that it's always 1954 in the world of The Bass Street Kids. They never age. Time never moves on. It's always the same. You know, the teacher's still wearing that mortarboard. It's a lovely time freeze, the whole thing. It became the Bass Street Kids in 1956, and since then it has become a regular in the comic, featuring in every issue. Since 1961, David Sutherland has drawn the strip and has drawn roughly 2,100 strips. Wow. Wow. That may be some sort of record to, you know, that's a long time he's done it. Like many other long-running UK comic strips, The Bass Street Kids is anachronistically frozen in the era in which it began. It portrays Class 2B of Bass Street School, Beano Town, where the teacher and headmaster still wear mortarboards and gowns, and pupils still at a wooden desk with inkwells. They are taught by a stereotypical teacher who is known as Teacher. His wife is called Mrs. Teacher. The characters were inspired by the view from DC Thompson & Co. office windows overlooking the playground at the High School of Dundee. Leo Baxendale remarks, "In fact, the catalyst for my creation of Bass Street was a Giles cartoon of January 1953. Kids pouring out of school, heads flying off, and sundry mayhems. Straight away, I penciled a drawing of the Bass Street Kids, of the kids of Bass Street School, and posted it from my home in Preston to R.D. Lowe, the managing editor of D.C. Thompson's Children's Publications in Dundee. I received an offhand response, a dampener. It was only after I'd created Little Plum and Minnie the Minx, both in 1953, that the Beano editor George Mooney travelled to Preston in October the 20th, 1953, and asked me to go ahead with Bass Street. He gave it the provisional title of When the Bell Goes when it appeared in the Beano of 1954, February. It was titled When the Bell Rings. As time wore on, Bass Street School, a wide range of people slowly shrank to the trademark 10 it is now famous for. When they first appeared, the strips consisted of the kids' time outside of the school. However, as they began to feature more and more inside the school itself, the strip was retitled The Bass Street Kids on November the 11th, 1956. The strip in question featured the kids preparing for a pantomime. In 1994, the kids' 40th anniversary, it was revealed that The Bass Street Kids would go through a major revamp in order to appeal to a more politically correct and modern audience. Major changes included Danny's trademark school hat to be replaced by a top hat, Fatty to become fit and muscular, and Tomboy boots to act more feminine. The school itself was to be replaced by a technologically advanced academy, and teacher was to be sacked in favor of a robot. A public outrage was sounded, with petitions and publicity stunts coming from all over Britain to return the characters back to their old selves. However, all proved to be a public hoax when the story introducing the new and improved Bass Street Kids saw them eventually return to their old ways. The then editor, Ewan Kerr, was ecstatic by the fan reception, citing the publication even got death threats. So 1994, a different time indeed, because the Wokies did not get their way on that occasion. The story was so widely received, an animated adaptation was produced not long after, featuring as a segment in the video, The Beano Video Stars. And then we'll stop from there. Okay, so let's have a look at some Bass Street Kids. Here's a Plug and various others. Groan Mumble, says teacher. He's in a wheelchair for some reason. Blob Street Teacher. Groan, no, far worse than that. I had to attend the Christmas school party. By Jove, old man, you've been a bit peaky, been in an accident. Yes. Happy Boxing Day, teacher. There's a box of chocolates from my Christmas box. How kind you are, child. There's he was the teacher's pet. This wasn't the teacher's son. I think he was a teacher's pet. His name was Cuthbert, I seem to recall. Happy Boxing Day, teacher. What you got in your Christmas boxes, my little ones? I've got a Jack in the Box where he biffs. Look at the nose on that. And there's plug. Please, children, yarp. And then the teacher gets beaten up. And I'm sorry I was hit you, teacher. It was an accident. I'm sorry it hit you, teacher. It was an accident. I wasn't meant to hit Cuthbert. And then they slip an egg down his back. And, you know, they were always, they were just a very difficult to manage class, let's just say. London Bridge is falling down. Trying our lightning treatment for jaded faces. So the teacher goes in to get a treatment for jaded faces in Fred's beauty salon. Comes out feeling like a new man, ready for anything. Say, Cuthbert, how do you like my Smiffy in the box? And there's Smiffy, jumps out. He says, ooh, I hate your violence. Try that for size. And you can see there's all this rough and tumble play, all this violence in these comics, which is the stuff of the schoolyard. This is where firm control is required. Break it up, you two, says the teacher. Unfortunately, the teacher gets whacked again. I loosen his collar. Somebody fetch the salts. Yet again, he produces an egg, a rotten egg, to slip down his poor guy. He's looking to have a nervous breakdown. Teacher's in a right old rage. Not very long after, he boxes them all in, not to be open till next Boxing Day. So they're all stuck in there. And little wormy teacher's pet Cuthbert provides the nails. So there we go. And then here's another Bath Street Kids. You get the idea. It was all kind of these kind of school hijinks, pranks on the teacher all the time. I'm just going to gaze at my lovely dial in this mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all? Plug is so ugly, the mirror smashed. they're always doing that. What a shock your ugly face gave me, Plug. Can I have my ball back, please? Meek. So there we go. And now we're in class 2B. Of all the unlovely pupils in this school, Plug is the unloveliest. You must get him a beauty treatment. He's spoiling the look of the school. Very well, Head. Can you make this rather ugly child look like the perfect pupil? So this is back at Fred's beauty parlor. Meanwhile, the Head is having a nap and a nightmare. So that the Head is dreaming of a Plug chasing after him with a cane. Then he has a sweet dream. Plug wins the cup for the prettiest people. Are you pleased, sir? There's Plug kind of made good looking. Look, let's sneak out of school while teacher's away. So the teacher's gone to take Plug to the beauty parlor. All the rest of the Bath Street Kids sneak out. This is Plug, and why not? And look at Plug. Simper. Back at school, headmaster, let me introduce you to the new Plug, Simper. Excellent. That's what I call a perfect pupil. I'll just take another look at my perfect pupil. My, what a marvelous face you have, my boy. You must make a model out of it. And unfortunately, Plug is back as Plug here. Such ears, what fine set of teeth you've got. The ideal face, my boy. I always knew I was handsome. And so this toy shop inventor? Later in the Head study, Irk, what's going on? Where did that ball come from? And then the perfect pupil is the fake Plug here. It's a big job, but we'll try our best. I'll give him a double dose of mud. I'll massage his scalp. I'll give him a dash of ear-shrinking brew. God. Oh boy, we must have some of these. And they go into the toy shop. get your Beano here. Yeah, this this kid here has always got a long tie, I seem to recall. Was his name Sydney? I can't remember. Oh boy, we must have some of these. So that they go in. Eight plus, say, each got plug mask look because the toy manufacturer made plug masks. That man in the toy shop down there selling these plug masks, we thought you could take a joke. Headmaster goes nuts, chases them all with a cane. Bah, that treatment cost a fiver and it's already wearing off. And their plug has turned back to his ugly old self. So there we go. And, you know, absolutely no compunction about saying plug is kind of butt ugly. You know, fatty is just fat. You know, you can see these were not at all politically correct comics. All right, so is that enough? We had enough, do we think? Maybe we'll go over to AA Gold in a minute and have a look at some of the criticisms made and Time Stealer's little... Jedi Knight Anakin Cringewalker says, would you consider doing a WW-style Excel sheet of your various guests with signature moves, outfits, and names? Community vote on the best champion. That sounds very time-consuming, Cringewalker, but possibly. I mean, I could put them in a game, I suppose. Or I may be doing a pro wrestling stream on Deepest Lore soon. Just before we get out of here, I want to have a little look at Winker Watson because there's something about this notorious Wangler that I find funny. So let's have a little look at Winker Watson. I'll just share this and then we'll all head over to AA Gold and I will address my critics about Nescafe Gold when the time comes. So let's have a look. Here's Winker Watson. There he is, this notorious Wangler. He was in the Dandy. This is from 1990. Seems, hold on a second. Hold on. This seems too recent. I don't want them from the 90s. I want them from the 70s where it's the, you know, I don't want any cheap imitations. I want the real deal. Here we go, 1962 to 1989. That's more like it. That's what I really want. So... let's share my screen again. We'll have a look at Winker Watson. It's just loading a minute. Winker Watson, the notorious Wangler. He was always up to tricks. Now, Winker Watson was a kind of trickster character, and there were a lot of these. The Beano, probably the more famous one, was Roger the Dodger, who had a book of dodges. Who was always trying to get out of odd jobs that his dad was giving him. I'm not going to have enough time to look at Roger the Dodger today, but he was one of my favorite characters growing up because he was more of the brains and less of the brawn. You see, there's a lot of brawn in these, but he was a kind of character that lived on his wits, and that always appealed to me when I was a natural int 18 mage character that appealed to me anyway. Winker Watson is a British comic strip created by Eric Roberts, which ran in the British comic book magazine The Dandy for almost half a century. It debuted in 1961 and was only terminated its run in 2007. It was revived in 2012. Winker first appeared in the 1961 Dandy book, published in 1960, and then appeared in the Weekly Dandy in issue 110 in April 1961, quickly established as a character of great wit and appeal, probably modelled on the Greyfriars stories and on Harry Wharton Winker. Winker is a pupil of the third form of Grey Towers boarding school. He is known as the Wangler of the school, constantly playing tricks and avoiding unpleasant school activities. I mean, I see Yiz the Eunuch as a bit of a Wangler. She's maybe one of the Wanglers of the chat. Much to the chagrin of his teacher, Mr. Clarence Creep, known to the boys as Creepy. Creep also has a sister called Agnes, who runs the nearby Trinity Hall School, constructed in 1989, after the previous one burnt down. Around that area, There also seems to be a St. Jennifer's School for Girls, though this may just be a continuity error. Grey Towers is next door to a police training school, although this was later reportedly abandoned and derelict. Winker Watson is a rare breed for a kids' comic, as his stories are often continuous from issue to issue, including the long-running saga of his Uncle Arnold arriving as Finn's physical training instructor and Winker's endless attempts to get rid of him. There was also a long-running story dealing with the unjust expulsion of Winker's younger brother, Wally. So there we go. So I didn't know that. I didn't know that Winker Watson was week-to-week continuous. A third example is that of Mr. Creep's own secret stowaway. The teacher's good-for-nothing twin brother, John, who was on the run and needed somewhere to stay, forced his brother to let him hide in his own quarters within the school. Other storylines involve Slasher Scrag, a delinquent boy recruited by the school staff, posing as a pupil to act as their spy on Winker's activities, and the Phantom of Grey Towers, an elusive figure causing trouble for which Winker and his friends often got the blame. So let's have a look at some of the Wangler's notorious adventures. So here's Mr. Creep feeling mighty grim when Winker lands him in the swim. Mr. Creep, the Form 3 housemaster at Grey Tower School, has taken his class to the river on the bathing parade. But Winker Watson has other ideas for himself and his pal, Tim Tropp. So there's Winker Watson. They're all there in their underpants. And I won't read this in detail. I just want to have a look at, you know, some of the hijinks they get up to. There you go. You can see all sorts of antics for Winker Watson. One of the things I like about Winker Watson is that he is called a Wangler, and I love the idea of somebody being called a Wangler. So there we go. Right. If there's no more super chats, we're going to end things now. And we're going to head over to AA Gold, wherein I will answer my critics as regards Nescafe Gold. So I'll see you over there in a moment. Remember, just before you go, I think, let me just double check that it's still available. The code DL, oh no, I think they're all gone, are they? Yeah, the code DL15, it should still work, actually. It should still work. There's still one left. DL15 will get you a 15% discount over on the academic agency. You know, I won't repeat that anywhere else. So it's just for my deepest lore brethren. And I'll see you over on AA Gold in a minute. As long as I can figure out to bloody finish this stream.